Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the Jets' first preseason game went about as well as most Jets fans could possibly have hoped. For an overreaction Sunday, we bring in Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News covering the Jets. Hey, Manish, how are you?
I'm good, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. So I saw your tweet, and certainly I saw giddy Jets fans all over the place. What would your message be to Jets fans who are giddy about their quarterback situation?
Well, they should be, because he is going to be a very good player in this league. Look, he's going to go through some bumps along the way this rookie season. He's not going to be some kind of MVP candidate, but he has the skill set to be a tremendous player in this league. The Jets knew it when he fell to them at 3. They didn't think that he was going to be available. They figured Cleveland would take him at 1. That was what their intel was telling them, really, up until the draft. So the fact that he landed in their lap was a huge surprise to them. And it should not be a surprise to Jets fans that he looked good on Friday night, because if you've watched him in practice like I have, he was doing a lot of the same things that he did that night as he had the previous 2 weeks. He's just got a tremendous skill set about him. He's only 21, but he's got the mental makeup, the physical skills, and this innate ability to play the position. And again, he is going to have a lot of mistakes as a rookie. There's going to be ups and downs, but they picked the right guy, and I would be surprised, frankly, if he doesn't have a good career if he's not injured in any way.
Manish, obviously we saw him at USC, but so far, especially, there's one thing what we saw on the field, some snaps in preseason game one, but covering training camp so far and what you've seen of him, is there anything so far that surprised you about Sam Darnold?
Well, he's got this remarkable capacity to absorb information that's not necessarily tangible when you're watching from the sideline at practice, but when you talk to people inside the organization who are around him every day and have an up-close and personal look at what he's absorbing, what he's learning, how he's correcting mistakes, things that he's doing in practice that maybe a reporter, for example, can't see, but something that impresses the coaching staff in the front office, every bit of feedback that I've gotten from people in the building has been that this kid is so far along, so much farther along, I should say, in his development than a person who's learning the quarterback position at such a young age should be. Because if you think about it, this is really only the beginning of his fourth season playing quarterback, one in high school and then 2 in college. And he's got this really innate ability to sense pressure in the pocket. I think he saw that the other night, but he saw that clearly at USC. When the pocket collapses, he has got this elusiveness about him that's very difficult to teach, and I'm not even sure he can explain it fully, but that, coupled with the fact that he's got the physical tools, coupled with the fact that he's got a really strong makeup, but he's not flustered, because there's a lot of young players, and most recently Christian Hackenberg, for example, who was really good in the classroom, and in meetings he could spit back the answer when given different scenarios, but for whatever reason that didn't translate for Hackenberg on the practice field. It certainly didn't translate for Hackenberg in preseason games, but that's not the case for Darnold. Everything that he is learning in the classroom, he's able to apply on the field, and that doesn't mean he's perfect, because he's not. He's far from perfect, but he's making really high-level decisions for a rookie player, and that's what's given the people in the organization a lot of hope and belief that they found the right guy. But, look, seeing is believing, but every indication that I've gotten from the folks in the building is that they don't think he's going to be a deer in the headlights on Thursday against Washington, certainly not the following week against the Giants, and he's really on track to be their week one starter.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So when are we predicting Sam Darnold will be the starting quarterback? I've been reading, it looks like even maybe as soon as today, he was taking the majority of first-team reps. Are you predicting, will he be the starting quarterback, you think, in the second preseason game against Washington?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. If you look at the blueprint from the first preseason game this year versus the blueprint last year, very similar. Josh McCown played the first series in the first preseason game a year ago before taking a backseat to Hackenberg and Bryce Petty the other night. Josh McCown played the first series of the first preseason game before taking a backseat to Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold. And then you saw You didn't see McCown until the fourth preseason game. It's going to be very similar. You're going to get a 50-50 split, or heavy dose, I should say, of Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater. Christian Hackenberg actually started last year's second and third preseason games because they wanted to fully evaluate him, and the Jets are doing the exact same thing with Darnold. They're giving him the same opportunity that Hackenberg got to earn the trust of the coaches and to prove that he can be an NFL starting player, and that's why you're going to see a lot of Darnold against Washington. If things go right, you would anticipate he'd start again against the Giants in the third preseason game. And if things continue to trend in the right direction, like the team believes that it will, then he'll be the starter week one on Monday night against Detroit.
Talking to Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News about the Jets. And so we know who Josh McCown is. We saw it last year, and he is a fantastic teammate and has all that experience to mentor a young quarterback. He did that actually in Chicago with Jay Cutler. So we understand his position. If Darnold is the starter, where does that leave Teddy Bridgewater? And at this point, if he's not the starting quarterback week one, is it likely that the Jets would trade him?
Yeah, my understanding is that if they fully trust that Sam Darnold is ready to be the week one starter, then they would be open to trading Teddy Bridgewater. That doesn't mean they're going to trade Teddy Bridgewater, because of course it depends on what the compensation is. They can't gauge right now on August 12th what the team is going to offer, because partly a lot of this is predicated on the league landscape at the quarterback position. Does a playoff caliber team suffer an injury to a starter over the next couple weeks? Or is there a playoff caliber team or a Super Bowl caliber team that wants to upgrade their backup quarterback position? Those are all variables that the Jets can't predict right now. But I can tell you that if they fully believe that Darnold is ready, there is no reason to keep three quarterbacks. And it would be an incredible maneuver by the Jets front office if they could flip Teddy Bridgewater, who they've only paid $1 million to. They're on the hook for $5 million more when the regular season begins. But if they trade him over this the next several weeks, they'll have flipped a $1 million investment potentially into a player that can help them, or into a pick, a premium pick in their mind, maybe a first, second, or third round pick. You know, probably not a first round pick, but if they could get a third round pick for a $1 million investment from a few months ago, that would be a boon for the organization. But again, everything's really predicated on two things: how is Darnold progressing, and what could they actually get in return from another team?
Yeah, the blueprint for that, of course, would be the Eagles trading Sam Bradford, and having the when Bridgewater himself got hurt, and there it was that the Vikings had a need. To your point, for the little investment and what they've done, if they could get a third round draft pick, it would be a coup from Mike Maccagnan. All right, that's the quarterback position. Let's move to the running back competition. And there's a lot of players in play here. Isaiah Crowell looked very good the other night but got hurt, right? What's the status on Crowell and your impression so far of the running back depth chart?
Well, Crowell has a concussion. He got the concussion actually on a 16-yard touchdown reception the other night. He's not with the team. I wouldn't anticipate that he would play on Thursday against the Redskins. He's an interesting player, because when you think of Isaiah Crowell in his days in Cleveland, you think of a bruising back, a guy who can get you yards after contact, not necessarily a guy who would be good in the passing game, but I know that the Jets want to use him in that way, and certainly since Eli McGuire, who they hoped would be their third down back, is now out for probably another 4 or 5 weeks with a broken foot that he suffered early in camp, they're going to use Crowell and Bilal Powell. That'll probably be the lion's share of work. Trenton Cannon, their late round rookie, he's got a lot of speed. You saw that the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a guy they can mix in. He's not going to carry a heavy load, but he's got enough big play ability that I'm pretty sure the Jets are going to try to find a way to utilize him. Ultimately, none of these guys, Powell, Cannon, Crowell, are going to do much damage if the offensive line doesn't do much better than they did the other night. And I know they're adapting to Rick Dennison's outside zone scheme, but they didn't look that good. If you watch that game, The stretch plays weren't particularly good. They've had issues at the edge, particularly tackles, right tackle, left tackle, and that needs to get fixed. I don't know if that can get fixed this year, but that needs to get fixed not only in the run game, but in pass protection, because I think that Sam Darnold's mobility and elusiveness can mitigate some of those issues, but ultimately they need to upgrade at the offensive line if they want to take care of Darnold, because the last thing the Jets fans and the Jets organization wants is a repeat of what's happened in Indianapolis with what happened with the Colts and Andrew Luck not protecting, your franchise quarterback. The Jets really need to address that area significantly in the offseason.
Yeah, to really make those sort of upgrades, it's going to have to be a priority next season. At this point, unless somebody drops someone halfway decent, this may be who they're stuck with. So who else? Let's flip to the defensive side of things. And first thing I wanted to ask you about is, have you been hearing from Jets players, coaches, the new helmet rule when it comes to tackling and the defense? What's the reaction so far coming from the Jets on that?
Yeah, that's interesting, because about a week or so ago, I talked to probably their two biggest hitters, their two safeties, Marcus May and Jamal Adams, specifically about that. And May said, look, he's not going to change the way he plays. He doesn't anticipate that other safeties would change the way they play. And Jamal Adams said he's not overly concerned about it because he does have proper tackling technique. But both of those guys hit the nail on the head, which is they want to see how the officials call this over the course of the four preseason weeks. And that'll gauge whether they need to tweak how they play. There is a fine line, because a player like Marcus May, for example, his game is based in some ways on intimidation. He is he's a hard hitter. He's a fearless player, and you don't want to lose that edge. If you're him, part of what makes him potentially a really good player in this league is that aggressiveness. So you do want to be mindful of the new rule. You do want to take notes and gauge how officials are calling it, and then maybe adjust accordingly, but you don't want to radically change the way you play, because part of the reason why the Jets love this young safety tandem is because of that, that not reckless necessarily, but that aggressive mindset. And you lose that mindset, then you lose part of the player that you are. So I think, Jets players, much like everybody else in the league, are just kind of in a wait-and-see mode. They want to kind of gather how officials are going to call this during the preseason, and if they have to tweak some of the elements of their game, they will. But I don't think you're going to see any kind of drastic change from a lot of the big hitters across the league.
Manish, is you mentioned Jamal Adams, and he obviously is, was an impact player and somebody who we know is a big talker, all of that. At this point, he's such a young player, it's only year two, but is he the defensive leader for this team? Would you expect him to be a defensive captain on this team?
Well, he's the most vocal player on the defense. It's interesting when you think of the defense, you kind of segment it into different levels. The guys up front, the defensive linemen, those guys look towards Steve McClendon, who's a veteran player. Clearly, Leonard Williams is maybe not the talker that Jamal Adams is, but I think when you talk about leaders moving forward for the next 3 to 5 years or even beyond that, it'd be Jamal Adams and Leonard Williams. Just because Leonard Williams isn't as, maybe as loud as Jamal Adams, I don't want to discount his importance. But yeah, Jamal Adams is he's a competitor. He's 100 miles an hour, every minute of the day, and he's infectious. His personality is that way. And if you're around him in the locker room throughout the course of the season, you see him exhibiting leadership traits, bouncing around from player to player, young, old, offense, defense. He's got innate leadership qualities. Everybody knew that coming out of LSU. So, he's an important piece to the puzzle. He does have to improve certain elements of his game, specifically eye discipline and pass coverage. But, yeah, he is going to be an anchor for this team for the foreseeable future, for sure.
All right. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News, covering the Jets and sounding a little more optimistic about this team in the future with Sam Darnold there than certainly I think you have in some past seasons. And a lot of Jets fans, I think, are right there with you. Really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you down the road.